Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. Thank you for tuning in. And today we have a really fun topic. And when my guest suggested this topic, I was like, oh, that's a cool topic. So I'm sure you're wondering, what is it? So the name of the show today is Tenacity of Consciousness. Being the ask, the ongoing choice, and the demand to be regardless of what is going on. And my guest is Jenny B, who lives in Scotland when she's not traveling. So you guys get to enjoy her beautiful Scottish accent today, which I always love listening to. And she's a worldwide access consciousness certified facilitator. She's also a specialty facilitator in a couple different specialties that Access Consciousness has, which is being you certified facilitator and an X-Men facilitator. And she invites you to a world of possibilities where no limitation is greater than you. A little, yay! So welcome, Jenny. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Hi, everyone.
Hello. And part of when I was reading your bio, it really was interesting. So Jenny was brought up in a family where judgment and power overruled, and she was not allowed to have a voice. She's been an eternal searcher for the truth of a different way of being. So how many of us were brought up with a family where your voice was really not allowed to be heard? I bet a lot of people are raising their hands right now. And in her 20s to her 40s, she practices a psychotherapist, which I did not know that about you.
Yeah.
Seven years ago, at the end of one road, she found the access tools. And that's, we really talk all about the tools and tips and questions that you can implement that are really quite pragmatic, that you can implement that will, can really have way more ease with your life. So she found these tools, and using them, she opened up a space that nothing else that she had practiced had come close to. A totally different way to be with all that she herself had rejected or judged as wrong. And with tenacity of consciousness, her unique capacities blossomed to acknowledge much more about herself and the world around her. And so that is our topic today. So Jenny, give us a little bit more information about what I just shared with everybody.
It's so funny because when you actually say it like that, I receive myself in an entirely different way.
Yay!
Thank you for that. How many of us have been brought up to be something like the mother's, the daughter, the sister, the brother, the son, the father, like all of these roles were brought up to be something, and that image is being projected at us. Not, we're not allowed to explore it. You're meant to fit in with whoever else is in your world. And really, that's what tenacity of being conscious is for me. It's asking, well, if I didn't need to fit in with everything around me as they would like me to be, then who would I truly be? What would I truly be?
You know, that's such a great question, because as you get, as you strip away the labels that we've all put on ourselves, let alone the labels we might have put on others, it really does kind of leave you with that question of, well, if I'm not a mom, if I'm not a wife, if I'm not a husband, if I, you know, like, who am I? You know, what am I to do, like, with this beautiful being that we all be? And we can all get so mired down in life, you know, living our life, getting through life, that we can oftentimes lose ourselves. So the tenacity of consciousness, Jenny, what does that mean for you?
Well, part of it's first to acknowledge, like, what face do you put on for being that role? So for me, as a good girl in the family, as a good girl, I'm a good Scottish accent coming in there, being a good girl means that I had to do everything right. And if I was wrong, then I actually was either shouted at or I was smacked, because when I grew up, that was normal to hit the child over the, you know, the backside or the hand and tell them they were wrong. So I grew up waiting, doing something and actually waiting to hear if there was a response energetically, verbally in my world, or a physical occurrence. So everything that I did, I checked out whether it was right or wrong. And until I began the access tools, I mean, I could look at from my other modalities, looking at how cognitive behavioral therapy, how, you know, thoughts, feelings, emotions, or like person-centered counseling, like thoughts, feelings, emotions, behavior, how all of that came in together. But what never allowed me to be was like, who am I underneath all of this sort of programming that I had to be? So the tenacity for me is asking the question, who am I here, without the projections or the expectations of who I should be and show up in the world? Who can I allow myself to be then that's different, that may actually give more contribution to the situation than who I was trying to be and fit myself into that role or box or face of who that other person wanted me to be? So the tenacity is the ongoing ask, the ongoing journey of question, choice, possibility, and contribution. And these are some of the access tools, as you already know, Betsy, because you use them too. So, like, part of that is the tenacity and ongoing striving to be who you know that you can be in the world. And a lot of that is, like, so much more fun, so much more joy, so much more exuberance of you being you. Because the world tells you should shut up and sit in the corner and keep quiet. You should not stand out. The world around us, but I'm willing to be something different. So that's my question too. It's like, you know, how much have you been taught to keep quiet and keep, I love the Australians call it being a tall poppy, which I love, because you've got your, you know, the poppy head cut off. For in the UK, we talk about, you know, putting your head above the parapet, which means that you'll get your head chopped off, a bit like a guillotine, you know. How many times have you actually been you and been rejected by someone else? And, like, what is the tenacity of being you throughout the world? So that choice to continually choose doesn't come from knowing what it is. Because, like, how many of us know who we are? We can put a face on and say, oh, this is what I'm doing today. I'm going, out for a meal with friends. I'm going to put on this face, this dress, these pairs of shoes. I know when I show up, I'll be received. If I decided to show up in a clown outfit, then I may get laughed at and a wee bit rejected. But then allowing myself to be in that clown outfit if I chose to, with the big feet and the bright clothes, then it's if I want to wear that, allowing myself to be that and receive the rejection if people project that at me and receive whatever is going on in their worlds that may have maybe in the past shut me down. Because like a lot of us, Betsy, you probably know as well, like we're very highly aware of what goes on in the world around us. We may not acknowledge it, but you know when you walk in a room and someone's been angry, that you'll be you know, kinder to them to allow them to come out of that. We know how to work with children when they're in a frustration mood. You know, you be away with them where that allows them to have their voice about what's actually going on. You ask them a question, hey, what's going on for you? You're a different energy with different things to allow facilitation into a greater space. Well, it's the same as you walk through the world. When you really acknowledge to be you, you have to begin to open up, to choose you, and then allow others to either be with that and not shut yourself down when they reject you.
Wow.
So that journey, that tenacity of knowing that me being me was never allowed in my family, and therefore replicated throughout every person I chose, because I was looking for this rejection or not being able to be me. So I chose people that would reject me. I didn't choose people that would really listen to me, because I didn't really know who I was and how to listen to myself. So I learned to be a psychotherapist, actually, to try and find a way to get myself heard as me. And what occurred was a different version of me came out, but not the true version, because the true being me would been covered over with so many different ways that I should be. So even as a psychotherapist, there was always a right way that would be received and a wrong way that would be rejected. And what Access Consciousness tools have allowed me to be is that space between the right and the wrong, that allows the rainbow of possibilities to be in my world and for me to choose me, regardless of fitting into right and fitting into wrong.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. So, you know, you talk about having the tenacity. Like, did you get to a point in your life, like what made you choose something different than what you had been doing?
Well, I'd strived all my life, exactly what I said in my bio. I'd strived all my life. I knew there was something there, but I didn't quite know what it was. And I always said I was looking for something that I didn't know what it was. And so I tried so many different modalities. I've trained in so many different things, including body work and ways of like unlocking emotions from bodies to help others. But also for me, that journey was to find a way for me to be all of me without rejecting me. And what I kept being hit with, what stopped me was me. I would get so far and then I would shut myself down. And what shut myself down, in what way I shut myself down, was like I would diminish me in how my body was. So I would have so much pain in my body that I didn't know how to walk or I didn't know how to function in my daily life. And the last through.
Oops, Jenny, we lost you. Oh dear. Oh,
I lost you there. Oh, I'm back.
There she's back. Okay, you talked about losing something and then you went like for a little bit. Okay.
Very interesting. So I lost the way that my body was functioning with ease. I became very limited. In fact, I was registered disabled and I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and various other illnesses, including arthritis. So I was very locked in my body, and I actually had at some point a carer looking after me because I couldn't function on my own for a long time. And so what happened then was, like, I'd hit this stage where I could not carry on with my life anymore. I was in my mid-40s and I had had enough and I was ready to just go. If this what the rest of my life was going to be like, then I didn't want to live it. And so I had suicidal thoughts, and I was on a whole load of controlled medication to keep me out of pain, which didn't really work. That just heightened my awareness of other things. And then I was offered a bar taster session, and I went, wow, this is amazing. And from there, I took a bars class, not thinking I could actually get through the whole day. And the bars facilitator was amazing because she said to me, I don't care if you're there for the full day or not. If you can come and just receive and then give a session, then we'll take the afternoon as it comes. And I stayed for the full day. I got through that bar session. And then 2 weeks later, I went to foundation class, which is one of the other core classes of Access Consciousness. And the body processes there changed my life. Mm. And from there, what opened up was that I was so aware there was a different way of being in the world that Access had so many of the keys to, but not that Access knew better than me. Access was asking me to unlock me by using the keys in my way, my journey, my yellow brick road through the difference that I can be in being me in the world. And from that class, I bought Dane's book in that class, Being You Change the World. That man opened up my world to possibilities I didn't think were available at all. And the tools and the information in that book opened up even more for me, allowing me to really engage with myself in a different way. And that's when the tenacity comes in. Because when you begin to change, everyone around you can be a little bit, shall we say, pissed off that you're changing and opening up your life, because they expect you to be in a wheelchair and stuck in a space where they left you and not able to actually enjoy your life and start to do things that really contribute to you.
Wow. This is absolutely amazing. And I know we need to take our break. So stay tuned, you guys, for more with Jenny B today. We'll be back shortly.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to level 2 answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance. I'm Betsy McLaughlin, your host, and today we have the honor of chatting with Jenny B., who just before the break shared with us kind of her journey to how she has found way more of herself. And Jenny, just it's so inspiring to hear that, you know, from where you were 7 years ago, to where you are now. So you have changed so much. And I too had come from a lot of pain. I could barely walk. I had fibromyalgia. They didn't really know like what to do with me. And so they started the same thing. Like they would just, they wanted me just to take heavy narcotics and do all these things. And I was like, I do not desire to live on, you know, narcotics the rest of my life. And it wasn't, you know, it would get rid of maybe a little bit of the pain, but then, you know, as soon as the medication started wearing off, it's back. And it also made me more zoned out and more just not connected with myself and my life. And it's like, no, there's got to be something different than this for me. And so, you know, to hear your story, you know, you had a lot of it, of similar things. It's just, it's amazing. And so you shared right before the break about Dr. Dane Heer's book, which is called Being You.
Changing the World.
And that book, for any, you know, you can find it on Amazon. You could go to the Access Consciousness website and find it. It's in a lot of different languages. I know it just got translated in, I forget. There's just so many languages that it is available in, and they are always looking at what other languages to translate it in. Dr. Dane teaches, it turned into a class, and he teaches that around the world. There's also some Being You certified facilitators, which Jenny and I both are, so we are able to do some of the specialty classes, and it's all from this amazing book. And it really does start to dive into, you know, being you is what the world requires. Yeah. So thank you for sharing your story with us. Wow.
Thank you. And like the book itself, can I just say that although it's in a hard copy, you can also get it in Kindle and iBook, but I've got the recording as well. And what I love about the recording is like I've got it on my phone, and I actually play that when I'm in my car. And there's something about Dane himself, Dane Heer, reading the book as well and going through the tools with you. Like it's very personal and a very personal journey. So the audio for me creates a lot as well, but I've got it in all three. So I've got it on my iPhone and Kindle. Mm. I've got it as a hard copy too. but the tools in this book are just never ending, because every time I read it, I find some other information that I haven't heard before. And I'm like that, wow, he's saying it in this way and I get it in a totally different way. Mm-hmm. But these tools are the ones that I first journeyed with the first one I used from that was, what if every wrongness is a strongness? And not only just with the pain, but I had excruciating migraines as well. And I used the tool, what if this, you know, what if every wrongness is a strongness? So what is the wrongness that I'm making this migraine, that if I allow it to be in my world without making it wrong, would create something different. And that tool, along with the interesting point of view tool, which is allowing yourself to be with whatever that topic is or energy is or whatever I labeled migraines as, because when we have some like energy like that, we seem to attach so many, not just points of view to it, but so many other scenarios. It's like whatever that energy is, we add memories to it. Oh, this happened when that pain was going on in my body, and this happened, and then I was sick for 3 days, and then this happened. And
right.
It's like we don't remember the one thing without the whole information that's attached to it. And what these tools do is take away energetically all the information that we attach to it and make mm-hmm. it something different, allow it to be there without the sort of no form, no structure, no significance, and allowing yourself to be with, like, take for example that migraine. And when the energy comes up that, oh my goodness, this is a migraine coming, you use the tool. Interesting point of view. I have a point of view that this energy means it's a migraine, or this sensation in my body means it's a migraine. And you keep asking that. And then what occurs is, like, there's an energetic way that you'd be different with it. And so that the migraine stopped for me, because what I was doing was having any symptom and choosing a tablet to try and get rid of it, which never worked, mm-hmm. by the way.
Right.
But when I did... Isn't it crazy? So it never worked for me. And then I would be sick, and then I would create a whole load of, like, chaos and drama about it and make it worse than it was because, oh my goodness, this tablet doesn't work and it's meant to. And so I stopped putting faith in what the hospital could give me and asked my own body for assistance. And as soon as I invited my body to be with me in that way, it began to show me different ways that it could work with it. So, yes, was it the migraine or a migraine, whatever way you want to call it, if you lie down in the dark, then it helps. But allowing my body to be, allowing my body to be present with those energies actually allowed me to receive me and my body with that, what I thought was wrong, into a way where I received it and it changed because I didn't make it wrong anymore. And the way that I word it in my classes is like, you know, if you were a caterpillar and you met a butterfly, would you make it wrong for being a butterfly? And does the caterpillar make the does the butterfly make the caterpillar wrong for being a caterpillar? Because it's the same being, it's just transformed into a different way with it. So for me, the pain was very much when I was a caterpillar, and that cocooning of me and being with the energies to allow the change allowed me to become more of a butterfly.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's amazing. So I wonder, like, how many different ways we've all kind of cocooned ourselves, and that now we could actually allow ourselves to come out of the cocoon and allow those wings to spread and fly.
And be the bright colors. Yeah.
Yes, and be all the bright, beautiful colors that we truly be. So what questions did you start asking and using in your life to come out of your cocoon?
Wow, there was so many. I mean, every day I would just join and create everything, all the projections, expectations, rejections, separations and judgments of me, of my body, and the way I am in the world. I'll just join and create. And then I used a clearing statement, which you guys know about, don't you? Right and wrong, good and bad, pop up on the insurance voice meons. And if you don't know, it's on theclearingstatement.com. So that is a way to begin. So the projections is what I think I should show up as. That sort of energetic blueprint of what my mum and dad said a good girl should be. And then my peers through school, my husband, all of those told me how I should be in the world, or I allowed them to give me their information and I would align and agree with it. So taking away all of that and then allowing myself to show up differently was the first thing. And then asking, you know, where have I never allowed myself to be totally different? Where have I never allowed myself to be possessing the total difference I truly be in the world? And then the other thing, it doesn't allow me to be that total difference of me in the world. I'll just join and create. Right and wrong, good and bad, pop up on insurance, buzz me on. Whereas I've never allowed my body to be my body in the way it requires to be in the world, to manifest me as me. So allowing myself and my body to be present together. Because for a long time, like, I had pain, so I pushed my body away and went, okay, every time my body's in pain, I better shut it down. So learning, and this is a tenacity, to journey with the pain and allowing the pain to come into my world and then being that, like that caterpillar with it till it became a butterfly, took time. It didn't happen overnight. That took 2 or 3 years to really work with. But the changes were very present in my world, and people could perceive that and see it in my world. So asking question, choice, choosing what is easier for me in the long run would be the tenacity of being conscious with this. So there's a few questions, and I'm sure you've got loads as well. I'm just trying to think of any others. Yeah, just a total gift. It's like asking, if I was truly being me, who would I be? If I was truly being me, what would I be? And if I was truly being me, where would I be? And where is not a place, where is like what space am I? Because again, I'd shut myself down into this little box of where I was kind of like showing up as something very solid, very small, instead of allowing myself to be this infinite space, this infinite being that I truly be. So if I was truly being me, what space would I be and can I be and am I being now? So really being present with it and not putting all the questions into the future so it's showing up in the future, really asking here and now, you know, really acknowledging who am I now and what questions can I ask to create more of me being so present in my body and my world as well.
Wow.
And a lot of good facilitators, but do you know that I met so many facilitators that really supported me in my journey, and these guys have been amazing for me as well. So,
so beautiful. And, you know, it is, it's so true that, like, one of the things that I know that I can tend to do, especially when I'm not feeling so great, is I can withdraw and go within, right, and not reach out and actually say, you know, hey, I could do some body work or some facilitation or conversation. And so, what I have found, and thank you so much for bringing that piece in, where, you know, you actually have been talking to other people who can contribute questions and facilitation to actually change things.
Yeah, and like really full-on clear facilitation, like, why are you choosing that? You know, it's just like, what does that create in your world when you choose that? Like, people who have been very much real and true with me and not allowing me to align and agree with, like, oh, it's so bad, blah, 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 blah. I've had to have a duvet day today and lie in my bed. If that came up, then it would be like that. Okay, what did that create for you? And I would be like, that's nothing much. I just lost a day. And like, to be really clear with what does that create in your world, some of these things are great short term, but long term, there's that sort of hiding, as you said, or avoiding, or, and like, who is it you're avoiding? It's always yourself. You're not avoiding someone else. You're avoiding who you're showing up as in the world. So in what way can you engage with that avoidance energy more? Because the avoidance is more like the dance you'll do around the void, so not to really embrace the infiniteness you truly be. We create these black holes everywhere. I'm not going there. That's too much. That's a big void there. We'll just leave it in space. So, and we dance around it and avoid dance. So
yeah.
What if we leapt into it and really allowed ourselves to be that space? What shows up is actually some uncomfortableness, for 10, 15, couple of minutes. But once you're there, it's like, wow, that was easier than I thought.
You know, and that's so true. Again, you know, we go to our minds and we create these scenarios that many, many, many times for myself are nowhere near as awful as we decided they were going to be.
Exactly.
You know, and if we put all these roadblocks in our way before we even get started, and
yeah, but how much of that for me is just like the way the world is? Because people talk about how difficult it's been for them. I had a friend that recently went to a class on the other side of the world, and she said to me when she got, it was friends of Polynesia, and when she got there, she said, oh, it was so traumatic getting here. And I'm like, that, you know, where was the joy of actually being on the plane for, yes, 42 hours from where I live to that side of the world, but being on the plane for that length of time, then what way would you add something to your life? That, where else do you have 42 hours to sit and actually engage with yourself? What would you choose to add in? You know, and for me, it's like, wow, you know, I don't care. I'm on a plane. I'll have a facial. You know, what will I, you know, a mud pack or whatever. What could I add in to really nurture me? What books have I never read that I've always wanted to read? What, you know, movies will I watch? What way can I listen to the classes that I've never had the time to listen to more than once? You know, to me, that's like, wow, I would really look out for me and have that space for me and enjoy it as a nurturing and add something to it. So looking at life in a different way is, for me, something that Access Tools have given me is where I'm able to not just go to the, like, the solution of the problem. It's actually asking a question, what can I add to this to allow it to be more fun, joyous, and easy for me? Mm-hmm. What does me and my body really want? And for a lot of the time, I had focused on, oh, this pain means this. This is bad. This will never stop. I've been told this is the way I'm going to be for the rest of my life. So when you hear all of that, there's no question of something else coming in and changing it. And when the question does come in, you have to keep questioning yourself and choosing more to open up that space, because it doesn't occur on its own. Our intrinsic way of being taught to function in this world is to look for the problem, focus on that, fix it, and then everything's okay. In actual fact, for me, that never worked. I just went around fixing problems. I didn't get very far. Looking for problems and fixing problems, it doesn't create anything.
Oh my goodness. True story there. All right, you guys, second break. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. So grateful for you listening in to Imperfect Brilliance. Betsy McLaughlin, your host, and Jenny B is our guest today. Jenny, how can people find you?
How can they find me? Ooh, they can come to Scotland and find me there. No, I'm also available online, obviously. I'm a worldwide facilitator, so you can find me on jennyb.com. And it's www.jennybe.com. And there are free resources on there, videos and a whole load of information about me and my journey, and a whole lot about X-Men and being you as well. So that's where they can find me, and you can get me on Facebook as well. I've got two pages, one is Jenny B and one is Jenny B CF. You can find me there.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you. And
thank
if anyone's looking for me, they can find me on Facebook as well. I have an Imperfect Brilliance Facebook page. I have a personal Betsy McLaughlin page. I also have a Betsy McLaughlin CF page. so you can find us all over the place. Also, my website is creatingyumminess.com. And you can also find way more information about us or Access Consciousness at accessconsciousness.com. So let's see. You were talking... Oh, gosh. Now I think I forgot what I was going to ask you. Shoot. Okay, go ahead.
I was talking about problems and how it's much easier to find the problems in our world to try and fix them, to make it right. And one of the greatest things was actually acknowledging that, you know, I cannot be, if I make myself right, then I also have to make myself wrong. If I make myself wrong, then I'm trying to make myself right. So to come out of that, and the way I described it earlier was that rainbow in between the right and the wrong. What if there's so many different colors there that, and frequencies of colors that we can be that we've never, ever allowed ourselves to be because we're too busy going to the black or the white or the right or the wrong? So allowing that to come into my world was where the tenacity began to come. And that tenacity is about, like, the tenacity of consciousness is the strength that consciousness has to have your back if you do not make yourself wrong. When you make yourself wrong, consciousness is still there, but you probably can't hear it or perceive it because you're too busy making yourself right or wrong. It kind of gets lost in the way that we talk to ourselves and the way that we listen to ourselves and the way that we think. So getting out of thinking and actually allowing yourself to not be right and not be wrong. If I was not right and not wrong, what is my strong? Who am I to be the possibilities of all that the world can perceive, know, be and receive? And the more that you open up and allow yourself to be that, then the more tenacity to choose you shows up, and the more consciousness has your back, and the more consciousness will support you in choosing you. As soon as we begin to invalidate ourselves or make ourselves wrong for having, you know, a fall, or if I've judged myself, I'm bad, then you're actually judging yourself again. So you're doing a double whammy. Whereas if you say, okay, I've judged myself here, I've made a wrong decision or whatever, then let's let that go. Now what else can I choose from now on? And in what way can I support me and my body now to go through this scenario or change or pain or whatever? So really asking to not give ourselves such a hard time anymore was a major learning curve for me. And to be a lot kinder. Now, I'd like to call myself a really kind person because I believe that it's part of my nature. But for me to be that for myself, no, I was very hard on myself. And part of that was the way, again, I was brought up. You were either right or you were wrong. You were good or you were bad. And even if you were good, there was always a wrong there somewhere, you know. So getting myself out of that mindset of always looking for the wrong to try and fix it, to make it right. What if I was never right and never wrong and always strong? Who would I be? And allowing those flavors to come into my world. And the universe will facilitate you. So people show up in my world where I am, shall I say, tested. to look at where I might may not being be being as conscious as I truly believe I am, and look at where I am holding points of view that hurt me and limit me in regards to another person or a situation. And for me, family and relationships are part of that. As soon as someone tells me who I should be now, then there can be what comes up is like, I'm not doing that, or I'm not being that for you. You've not asked me a question. So immediately, again, it's looking at, you know, where am I fighting or trying to make right or wrong my way in regards to their way? What if they're right and they're right in their own way and I don't need to take on that on board? Then who am I to allow myself to be strong in this space between the right and the wrong they're asking for? And that is like kind of difficult to explain, but it's more like a muscle you build the more you choose this allowance of being you in the world.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And yeah, gosh, there's so many different places we could go with this conversation. And one of the things that I did want to bring it back to is, you know, for anybody listening who might be in a situation, right, where they think that whatever they're going through is insurmountable. You've got pain going on, depression, a combination of all kinds of different things that really you can feel like this is just, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what to do. I've tried all these things. Nothing's working, you know, and when you're in that space, it can be, you know, you just want to put your head under the covers and never come out again.
Totally.
And, right, Jenny and I have both been there, you guys. That's, you know, maybe one of the reasons that we are even more like we really desire to talk about this and share our experiences to know that there actually is something different possible. And, you know, what is it for you? You know, everybody's journey is different. Everybody's, you know, path is going to go a different way. And there are some similarities. So what, you know, like, what would you say, Jenny, to somebody who might be listening to say, yeah, well, that's easy for you. You know, maybe it works for you, but it's not going to work for me, or I just don't know what to do or how to start. You know, if somebody's having those thoughts, what would you say to them?
Well, I would ask, you know, what is the one molecule that you can change in all of this? And just asking for that molecule to come up, and just, it sounds daft, but spinning that 180 degrees and 180 degrees and turning it so it's like a gyroscope. Because what you're doing is you're beginning to change something energetically by putting your attention on one molecule. Now, even science dictates that when you put your attention on something, you're giving it the energy and asking it to change. There are some molecules that only show up when you think of them, and then they'll show up. So what is it that we can be here that we've never allowed ourselves to be? Because we get over indulged in the way the mind works, and the mind sticks us. So asking for the one thing, and it may be in your point of view, like my whole situation here, what's the one thing that I can change, one molecule? And then asking to spin that one molecule. And it may be, for me, it was pain, so asking to spin one molecule and really being tenacious with it. And if the mindset came in, oh, that this isn't working, then I would say I'll destroy and uncreate that and ask for something different. Now, for some people, it's not an easy journey, and it takes a little while to get through the mind programming. Mm-hmm. But once you learn that you can do this once, then it's the ongoing choice. And how long have we been doing this? I mean, I'd done this all my life. Right. I'd learned before the age of two how to program myself and to look for problems, because that's what we did in our family. Mm-hmm. And look for the right and the wrong and trying to fix the problems by being right or wrong. So that whole mindset is a way that we're still looking at. But if you can change one of the molecules and spin it, then you put it sort of back in your body. And then, so let's do that. So find a pain in your body or something that's uncomfortable in your body. Here we go. And then just energetically take one molecule of that space out of your body, put it in front of you and spin it 180 degrees, turn, and then again, 180 degrees, turn. And so make it go faster, so it's like a gyroscope and it's spinning so fast. And then put that back into your body and ask for another one that requires the same attention. And then what that begins to do, 180 degrees, turn that molecule, 180 degrees, turn that molecule. Put that one back in your body. And then you keep going. And what begins for me occurs is like, and I'm not saying this is the way, I'm asking you what happens for your body, is like there's an effervescence in my body. So there's a bit of movement, there's less solidity, there's like an effervescence of fizz. And something else occurs in my body where I get there's a change occurring. Now, what else can I be or do to add to this change? So you're beginning to acknowledge, one, you're changing it. Even if it's just energetic, it's not showing up physically in your world yet, but you're beginning to change it energetically so it will show up physically. And that tenacity is an ongoing choice to continually choose. And ask a question, what else is possible now? How does this get even any better than this? What else can I choose now that will allow more of this to show up? So you're asking questions without a sense of what the outcome will be. You're just choosing one molecule and saying, okay, what will this create? What's that Jenny saying? What will this create if I do this? And who knows? And if it doesn't work, there's a billion other tools that Access uses, and you can go through them all and say, I've used that one, it doesn't work. No, it didn't work then for you. If you use it this time, maybe something different will occur. Mm-hmm. But you do not know unless you ask a question.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And the thing is, too, like that sometimes you think something isn't working when it actually is. So if you actually will get out of your conclusion and your definition and what you think something's going to look like, and you just allow things, you know, kind of stop being a control freak and allow things to unfold the way that they will, and you keep asking questions, it's really interesting to see what unfolds, what shows up, which, you know, what paths, who you run into. And as you play with these tools, and like you said, Jenny, we're undoing programming and ways of being that we've been for most of our life. Like, so sometimes it's not the most comfortable. Sometimes it's not the most easy. Sometimes it's very easy. You know, so, and it gets easier the more, just like anything that you do in your life, the more you do it, the easier it becomes, the more natural it becomes. This was not, for me, it was not ease all along. And even now, sometimes it can be quite interesting and challenging. And I also know that, like, on the other side of whatever that is for me is far greater.
So you know, one thing I really, sorry, Dennis.
I was just going to say, and then I'm willing to go through that, you know, I'm willing to walk through the fire because I know what's on the other side of it is.
Yeah. I was going to say the one thing I really found was like I'd slowed everything down and disabled myself into a stop. But the more momentum and movement I got, it's like riding a bike. You know, you can't turn a bike when you're going slow because you fall off. But when you put more speed into things, like, and I mean like more energy, more movement, then what occurs is you can turn faster and come out of something with more energy into it. So if you've stopped yourself, ask what speed can you add to this? What movement can you add that will allow things to change?
Wow, that I love that, and that is so true. So where are you slowing yourself down?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's figuratively or literally, where are you slowing yourself down that if you changed the way you perceive that and change that one molecule, what would start to ripple out of that change? What would ripple out?
Yeah.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I'm loving this conversation today. So grateful that you came on with us, Jenny B. And what would be a couple takeaways as we end up this hour today for people that they could go play with?
I just, like, everything we've touched on has just been amazing. I'm really grateful to be here with you guys as well. And what if you're never alone? What if we actually are here to assist each other, and you talking about what doesn't work for you helps someone else choose something different? What if every choice that you make opens up something for someone else to be their brilliance as well?
Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you, Jenny B, for being with us today, you guys.
Bye, everyone.
You're not wrong. Take care. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Imperfect Brilliance. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Jenny.